Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, Monday evening, 11 o'clock East Coast time. And we are three astrologers who get on the air together to talk about the week coming up and what we can expect, and to take calls from listeners. So we'll give you a phone number in a moment that you can call in on and give us your birth information and ask some questions. This is Mark Waltz speaking to you from Manhattan, New York City, on the west side over by the Hudson River.
And I'm joined by Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk with the cats fighting in the background.
And Heather Rowan Robbins, speaking to you from the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota.
Are there turtles in the Turtle Mountains?
Yes, there are, but it's more that when you're coming across the plain, the Turtle Mountains, which we would call small hills, looks like one giant turtle. So it's as if the whole area, which is glacial dump and full of little ponds and loose rock, but when you're coming across the plains, it's the highest point for a long way, and it's filled with aspen forest and fur-bearing creatures, and is the home of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians. And the Turtle Mountain area, when we asked, it was so wild when we first got here, where are the mountains? And they said, emphasis on the turtle. So you can see the turtles. It's not, no, really mountains.
I'm really feeling like I'm getting a geography lesson as we ask you questions about what goes on out there in the Wild West. All right.
I think there's no constellation for a turtle, so you're the best we've got.
Okay. I'm the turtle
hill.
Constellation out here. We are constellating turtles. That makes sense.
All
right.
Great.
All right. So what's ahead in the week?
Well, I just want to talk a little bit about...
Until next Monday, it's not too wild. We kind of calm down after the eclipses, but then next Monday, that's another story. So we'll get to that later.
Yeah. And we have some cleanup to do still from last weekend with that Mercury opposed Neptune and Venus challenging Pluto. We had at the same time, there was drinking and driving problems that caused sadness and loss. We had several really sad accidents around here. We still are having airplane crashes that end up in the water over the Hudson. There's still a series of, miscommunications that set off intense emotional reactions, which are part of that Mercury-Neptune opposition. So I still feel the dust clearing from that. I'm in a writing workshop this week with some really wonderful writers, and it's great. That Mercury-Neptune opposition, if you're not trying to write fact, it's lovely. But if we look at what they're saying about the health care reform, we see that they're not writing fact either.
Right.
And, people are just spinning their stories and spinning their projections.
Right.
Which is too bad.
Which is Mercury-Neptune. My version of truth
is
right. Your version of truth is wrong. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, again, great for writing fiction.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting, especially because Barack Obama said, send me those emails that you're getting in your email box about, what they're telling you about the healthcare thing so we can look at them. It's like, what's the truth? What's not the truth? Because not all the stuff you're being told is true. But, people are really a little emotional and very crazy with also Mercury and Neptune makes people crazy. Or Neptune makes them crazy, and Mercury makes them talk crazy. People are a little...
There's a lot of enormous amount of projection,
Yes.
And as we listen to people, we're just projecting all kinds of stuff onto whatever words they utter. Like, you could just say three words, I like green. And everybody would hear, a dozen words that you just said. And some of them, it would be good. Some of them would be bad. And, it's a great time to play that. Remember the game where you pass a phrase around? One person whispers to the next person.
Telephone.
Do that one today, and you'll get some real crazy results, with everybody trying to get it right.
Right. Because it's just not, communication's just not happening right now. Not well, at least. So, yeah, and literally, you know, the guy's like, okay, duck, there's a plane behind you. And, you know, he ducked right into it. So, and it's interesting because that also is the Sully, you know, and the guy who landed the plane in the river back in January, the Saturn's back at that point again. So it's like, yeah, that could have been a really big mess. You know, this one was just 8 people dead. That could have been 155 people they were pulling out of the river for days on end. So it's, you know, also thoughts about the families that lost their loved ones. So not pleasant. So what else can we expect besides telephone games gone awry and communications uncommunicating properly?
Well, remember we had Mars square Saturn today. And that will have made a frustrating day. And, you know, the big no word to whatever you want to put out there, you know. No.
No, you can't have it.
But I want to do this. No.
No.
And it's okay. It'll pass. And, you know, it's just an opportunity to look and listen and hear why that word no came at you. Doesn't mean no forever, but it does mean no right now.
And one form also I saw of that Mars square Saturn, the writing workshop I'm taking was started off with some kind of intense exercises, and one of which was to write your autobiography in 17 words, to write very short short stories. And that Saturn sense of learn to work with a very, it's like learning to work with two colors and then getting a chance to paint with all the colors again. Learn to work with a very limited palette stretches you. And sometimes that's what we hear when we hear no, is learn to work with a very limited palette, and then you have the discipline and the ability to take on what you were doing with even more skill. So right now we may be working, you know, it's like if you learn to get by on very little money, when you finally get some money, boy, do you live high off the hog. But if you've never lived without money, you can just go through it like water.
Right.
And not even appreciate it. So somewhere in our lives at the moment, we may be feeling a pinch and feeling like we just don't have enough of something, enough sleep, enough money, enough, you know, whatever, enough talent. And enough chocolate. That was my problem, right? And if we can, but if you can get by with what you have instead, you can really use when plenty seems to return. So Saturn doesn't just want to limit you and say no. It's saying no, learn a new skill. No, learn how to live with this. It's, you know, it's pushing you to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's austerity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing.
Now, I can remember one guy, a friend of mine, and he was saying at one point, we were talking about eating and food, and his comment was, well, you know, in the old days, you know, you only had meat on the feast days. You didn't have meat every day. You didn't eat, eat like craziness. You had like peasant food most of the time, which was a bowl of gruel and, you know, some oatmeal and maybe a potato, but you didn't eat like mass quantities of food because it was you waited for the festivals. And it was kind of like an interesting thing because I thought, I hadn't really thought about that. But back when there was no food, that whole concept of what is enough or how much is enough. And I think what we find with Pluto and Capricorn is a lot of us are looking at, well, what is enough and what do I need? What is enough for me? And what do I need actually to make me feel safe, whole, sane, protected? And then why do I need that to make me feel that way? What else do I need? You know, I was it's kind of an energetic thing. I was reading something about Kevin Bacon, because all his money was taken by Bernie Madoff, and he, you know, he's a Cancer son, so his comment was, you know, I sat down and I thought about it, and really what's important to me is my family and my stuff, and, you know, I like working, so I'm going to keep working. And, life goes on. It's like, what's important and where is your priorities? And I think, I know for me, one of the things the eclipses did was got me very clear on what's important for me for the next big chunk of my life. Where do I want to take it? You know, what's my direction? What's the call? And I think if we focus mm-hmm. on that, it can help a lot, and we don't feel so out of control and so afraid, because we're like, okay, mm-hmm. so it's a necessary transition, mm-hmm. and what else do I need to do to take care of myself? So kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting times we live in. So
it is.
Yeah. So.
And I think that using some of this ability to connect and to work with each other now, the moon's in Aries today and tomorrow, was kind of feisty and high energy. But then the moon goes into Aries, and out of Aries and into Taurus. We're heading into, at the end of this month, a series of some pretty tough Mars aspects. Mars squaring Uranus, Mars aspecting Pluto. And so it's good to start checking in on all your work projects and all the people that you know, and get on good terms now so as to handle the feistiness later on. That's my theory.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. The Mars, I've been worrying about the eclipses, so now we have the Mars aspects coming.
Yeah.
And then we have Saturn opposite.
Right.
Uranus.
And now we have a series.
And then we have
the Mars eclipses.
Pardon?
Some people asked me today, said, why, when the last few weeks, everywhere I go, people just start yelling at me. You know, I said, no, I'm getting along fine with the people I know, but they're just yelling at me. And we talked about how the eclipses really brought up old family patterns, including the tendency to project all that stuff on each other, and the Mercury-Neptune opposition. And I said, it seems to have calmed down for now. I think it's helpful to take that, the kind of sweetness that happens during the midweek when the moon heads into Taurus, and some of the nicer aspects that allow us to communicate. Mars in Gemini for now allows us to continue to, you know, brings up, feisty words happen, because that, especially with Mars square Pluto, feisty words come up, but those feisty words don't last long. People can throw a real temper tantrum, but they drop it quickly. And this woman described being a car drove by, almost hit her, and then yelled at her, "Bitch!" And she just
started
laughing.
You're the one driving badly.
Right, exactly. But Mars and Gemini, said normally she would react, but today she just laughed.
Right.
And that Mars and Gemini can, let us find the sense of humor, and let us relax, and let us, we may need to speak what we're upset about, but often drop it very quickly once we've come on the other side of it. That's another piece that I'm seeing as an important part of the process this week.
Yeah. Mark, anything
from Mars trines?
Mark?
And
Mark?
You
dropped. Okay.
Yeah.
We're having Mercury moments here on the phone. It's like,
yeah, that's the Neptune thing, gobbling everything up.
Gobbles it up.
And, Thursday, when the moon is getting ready to leave Taurus, we have the sun semi-sextile Saturn, and that'll eat up some of this Mars square Saturn stuff. And then, meanwhile, Mars trines Jupiter. So on Thursday, it's a lighter day. And it'll actually, some of the energy that was blocked today and the ability to take action that felt blocked, the big no word, that should loosen up. And there may be, just a sense that we know how to work with the whoever it was that was saying no, right, wherever that no was coming from. We'll get a different sense of how to work with them, and then things will open up. So Thursday should be a good day to sort of, like, between now and Thursday, really look at, what it is you can do to straighten out and adjust what you wanted, and then see if you can resubmit that proposal or just, try to take that action on Thursday. And you should be surprised that it's easier than you thought.
Right. Yeah, I kind of was looking at the energy and thinking, it felt very much like it also was the eclipse wrap-up, because the moon is going to be in Cancer again at the end of the week, and that's going to pick up that last little bits of the eclipse from last month and say, okay, let's put it in the pile and put everything nice and neat away, and then we can all move forward. And I think there's a lot of feeling around it. And I, you know, I'm kind of looking and saying, well, okay, what is, I know what my eclipse story was and how it kind of, I've been processing it emotionally. But I've also been very aware of the fact that it, you know, as an eclipse, it's been a very kind of a harder energy than some of the other ones I've known in my 14 years or so as an astrologer. And some eclipses really just do really make major changes in our lives, and I really feel this one did. So it's also about being gentle with yourself in terms of timing and knowing that, you know, that part of the exhaustion, I can feel a cold, I've got a cold coming in, and I'm like, damn, I hate colds. But, you know, it's like, okay, let me take some echinacea and go to bed early and, you know, do nurturing things to myself because my body's been not sleeping maybe as well as it needs to or not getting as much, you know, tender, loving care just because there's been so much energy flying around. So I think it's also about giving ourselves permission to stand where we're feeling and kind of say, okay, well, what would actually make me feel nurtured on this? Because the moon is in personal signs this week because it's in Aries, which is about me, and Taurus, which is about what makes me happy, and Mercury, you know, and Gemini, which is about what do I actually need to get what I want accomplished. So there's a very strong energy around how do I do this, you know, and what actually do I need to do. So I think it's, you know, I kind of find it fascinating when we have these major transition times because you really become aware of, you know, just love and life. And last week when John Hughes died, I was like, oh, man, you know, I always liked him. I liked his movies. And they kind of the marking, you know, marking the turning point in many ways of a chapter's closing. So, you know, it's a forward time, forward. So, what else?
So, and well, later on this week, as Mars trines Jupiter, tomorrow we've got the Moon sextiling Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune, the gang of three, as you so well put it. So in the middle of the day, we may get even though it's a gentle sextile from the moon, kind of a chance to see what we need to free up in our life and where the healing is going on. I think the night after tomorrow, on Wednesday night, as the moon semi-squares both Mars and Uranus, there might be some technical difficulties. And watch, you know, for fires or electrical problems and moments of stubbornness. But otherwise, it should be a, you know, a well-fed and delicious evening. And on Thursday, as Mars trines Jupiter, there's a competition or a desire to push for your personal best. Let's see if we can push for our personal best and not make it a too big a competition against other people to really see what we can do to grow that. As the Sun opposes Jupiter on the weekend, it's a real tendency to overdo things, to overspend, to just see things too big. And we'll just watch that we have a sense of expansiveness on a good level and not overdo things along the way.
But overdoing is fun.
Yes, it is.
It is, but it's like, okay, we've had enough overdoing. Now it's time for a little resting.
Uh-huh.
No, it felt very overdoing this whole life. This whole summer has felt very overdoing to me. So I'm looking for a little more spaciousness in my life, I tell you. How do I get there? I have no clue, but I'm trying. And I think it also is, you know, when we look at the ebbing of an eclipse, you know, as we go from full moon to new, there's a whole energy about releasing and ending and letting go of things. And kind of like, okay, well, what actually needs to go? Because the new moon is on the degree of the, you know, the new moon on the 20th is its 27 Leo, which is a kind of a fire moon, and I always think of that as kind of a impassioned degree of Leo. So it's also like, what else do you need to let go of so you're really free to pursue what your passion is and what your dream is? And a lot of times we hang on to things, or at least I do, that is, you know, that we really are like, okay, that if that left, I really would have a little bit more time and space to do what I really truly say I want to do. You know, so I guess that's also a place to look in this week where when we're in focus and release mode from the eclipses. So we actually have a caller on the line, and we would take callers. It's 347-215-8881. So I'll try and pick up the caller. And if I lose them, I apologize. Caller, are you there? Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, and who are you?
My name's Maureen.
Maureen, okay. Hi, Maureen.
Hello. I wanted to find out from you guys. I did fine with the eclipses, like everything that should go went, which is fine. The only problem, and this is a bigger problem than I'm sounding like, but everything is moving along like it should be. I have a book project I'm working on, but I cannot find day-to-day work at all. I mean, it's like I can't even tell you how many jobs I've applied for, and it's just like dial tone, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
And I can't.
Can you give me your birth information?
Sure. It's December 17th, 1960, at 10:57 p.m.
Where?
Bronx, New York.
Bronx. We love the Bronx.
Yeah.
And that was 1711.
I'm sorry.
December 1760.
That's right.
Yeah.
And 10:57 p.m. in the Bronx.
That's correct.
Was November.
December.
December. Okay.
December. Yeah.
God, this feels like I have like three astrological surgeons working on me all at once.
You do, and it won't hurt at all, we promise. It'll just tweak a little when
we
pull on the left femur there, you know. No screaming. You'll scare away the other patients. All right.
Well, actually, I mean, to me, it looks pretty good that you've got some changes coming. At the moment, your progressed moon is just left 2.5 years in Virgo, and you have been working really hard, but you may have worried a lot and felt tough about things. Your progressed moon right now has just entered Libra. That's the good news. The bad news is that it's squaring Pluto this month. So
no work this month.
You see the loss. Yeah, and Uranus is squaring your sun, so you've got your whole sense of self is in metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you think about yourself, who you think you are, you've been dealing with a lot of change in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're moving into a time when you're going to be much happier with that progressed moon in Libra, but it has to get past its square to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no work this month easily. No easy work this month. You could get short-term work this month. You could get temp work this month.
Yeah,
but,
well, that's all I'm
what are you... What's your work? What's your line of work?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm working on a book, and that's sort of my long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need anything to pay the rent at this point. You know, like it's, and I've applied for everything from, you know, organizing someone's expense account to, you know, other things that were in my field, which was like television and radio, that type of thing. And it just is absolutely zero. It's amazing.
Well, Pluto's on your Neptune, too, so you're pretty invisible
right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your solar arc Neptune is at zero and Pluto's on it. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, nope, we're just invisible. Work on your book. we don't want you doing anything else. And we'll give you enough. Yeah, but it's not extra. And then your progressed Jupiter just changed signs into Virgo, and so that often takes a little bit of time. Your solar arc Jupiter, I'm sorry, changed signs into Virgo, into Pisces, out of Aquarius. So that was kind of the freelancy stuff, and right now, as of April of this year, it went into Pisces. So is that when your work kind of dried up?
It dried up before. It was supposed to come, and it never came. I mean, it's been amazing. But where the work I used to do, with everything that's changed for everybody this year, everything that just was gone. For everybody I know, all the, you know, old clients we had, everybody was gone.
Right,
so,
gone.
Yeah,
everything isn't changed, but the new form is going to work better for you, but you really have to be willing to let go of the old form and not go back to do what you were doing. Now, it's going to be a lot easier for you after Labor Day weekend because around September 7th or so, the transiting sun gets out of your 12th house. And for this next month, it's not easy for you to be seen. It's a great time to do work behind the scenes, work inside, work on your own, you know, work on your web resume, but Don't worry about pushing yourself out there. You know, it's work your contacts, work the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got the Mercury-Saturn conjunction soon coming in the first house. So it looks to me like there's some serious short-term work that will just kind of help you, tide you over. And that you need the work that you're doing next is less Virgo-like, less detail-oriented and more bigger picture. You're great with people from other countries and faraway places and to do with travel and to do with the international connections and to show people around the city and to, you know, you're really good at bridging cultures and places and people and socioeconomic groups to find a way where that gift is really seen and appreciated, you know, rather than detail work, which you hate, which you will be impatient with in a very short period of time.
Yeah, well, that's sort of what the book is about, is sort of to help people kind of bridge a big gap, but I can't wait till it's done because I'm really sick of writing it already. And that's exactly, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay,
mm-hmm.
one more comma and I'm going to kill myself. But
mm-hmm. But see if you can find a short-term job, whether that's like hotel concierge for a hotel that has a lot of international clients, or some place where they really need that skill,
uh-huh.
just that skill.
Yeah, so just more of a personality job than a brain job.
Yes.
Exactly, more of a personality job than a brain job because your progressed moon has just gotten out of Virgo, gone into Libra.
Okay.
It doesn't
and,
want a brain
you know,
job.
Put your
it
brain
wants...
in your work.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah,
it wants, people job.
Right, it wants you smiling and laughing, not necessarily doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's one of those jobs that you would
you
normally look
your
at
brains
and go,
in your in your book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and that would be delightful. I mean, that would be like a nice balance, mm-hmm. and it would feel good.
Mm-hmm.
The other
mm-hmm.
thing I was wondering, I keep getting these, like, urges to move, which is not like me because I was, like,
mm-hmm.
very content, and I didn't know if that was something that was sort of coming up.
That's the Uranus, the sun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uranus square your sun.
It doesn't
like,
look
I want to break
like, yeah, and Pluto to squaring your progressed moon can feel like your old home has died, or you can even become allergic to your old home under that circumstances. But I'd wait a month to see how that goes.
Yeah.
I think that you are moving your work and your identity, not your house, yet.
Okay.
But
okay.
that may be coming up as a part of your work.
Okay, maybe that's kind of, well, because it just feels like, it almost feels like an iceberg slowly, like, breaking away and getting ready to, like, keep moving
mm-hmm.
slow, but
mm-hmm.
apart from everything.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and you do have a cardinal cross kind of forming in your chart with Mars opposite Neptune, so it might feel like it's imperceptible movement. You
uh-huh.
know, your progressed Mars is opposite Pluto, and once Pluto goes direct on the 11th of September, it'll feel like you can move forward again. And
mm-hmm.
then they're both squaring your Venus in terms of your own personal money, your progressed money, and
mm-hmm.
the moon is coming to oppose it. So it's kind of like, I'd say another month, month and a half of not feeling like the work you're doing is what you want for money, but it's really, it's because there's such a profound shifting going on. You really do have major, major transitions. Do you have any
mm-hmm.
stuff you can do with friends or family, you know, like someone who's got a project that you've, or, you know, that you can, you know, help them clear stuff out and do the work
yeah,
that way? You know,
I've been kind of working every angle, you know, letting everybody know. And what's really strange about this, and I don't know how to describe it. I'm usually a real worrywart.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's like, okay, it'll be okay. You know,
right.
I'm not, I mean, intellectually I'm worried, like mm-hmm. I should be. But at the same time, I don't have the knot in my mm-hmm. stomach that I normally have. So it's been like, okay, so I'll just wing it, you know, and just try to get through this as tight as it can be. Because it kind of feels like there's something up ahead. Like I just
yeah.
have to get up the road kind of thing, and then I'll be fine. But, no, I've tried. Like, everybody knows I'm looking for work, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, God help Craigslist. I think I've applied for everything that's on there. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's an odd feeling.
I would really look, you know, go first towards places that are dealing with international visitors, international tourists, people that
okay.
need to know how to get around the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
There was something else I wanted to ask, and I can't remember.
Okay.
I know what it was. I've been sending out query letters for my book just to try to get it started. Is there any type of movement looking type things coming up that someone's going to call me back and say, yeah, we want to agent your book?
You've been sending it to agents or you've been sending them to publishing houses?
To agents.
Okay. Your best to, you know, do you know other people who've published a book?
No, not that many.
Okay. I would, you've got agents in your chart, but there's a little invisible energy with that. So what I would try and do is find someone who you know who has written something or find a class where they say, oh, so you want to learn how to write a book or you want to write a book. And that will get you a connection to it. There's something you're not doing or including in the letters that's making them stay invisible. You've got Neptune on the third. Neptune on the third.
You have
house.
To get a little bit farther along.
Yeah, you have to get a little further along, and it'll be okay. But I would encourage you to find someone else who's done it and use them as a model.
Okay.
You know, just say to them, "How'd you get that? How'd you do it?" You know, because query letters are good, but your query letters aren't getting seen right yet.
Yeah. Well, it's also
The gift for you on this is that your progressed Jupiter is conjuncting your progressed Saturn in the next year or so, and you're moving into a time when, you know, your publishing is your life,
right.
is your work. You may need to have, have you had a good editor go over your stuff?
Not, I've had a couple, my friends all work in writing and television and stuff, so I had two of them go over it.
Okay.
But
go over it, good. That's good, because it looks like that sometimes that you could use a little objective structure on it, not because it looks like it's in good shape, it just needs that combing that's a little hard to do personally. My suggestion also is if you could get a male agent.
Okay.
Normally you would get along easier with a female agent, but at the moment your progressed Venus is in the house of 7th house of partnership, which is great, except that Pluto's moving into a squaring that. And your progressed sun, your progressed moon is coming to oppose it. So while...
Mm-hmm.
Well, Pluto's pulling this off. My suggestion was if you can get a male agent, it might be easier, or else a female agent who is in the midst of her own intense transformation. There's something that you need to know about how to sell the book. Like there's got to be the reason for why they need to read it has to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a purpose. So that what comes across in the query letter is what someone gets out of this book that's so special right now.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because I had been leaning towards female agents, and it was, like, really obvious to me that I was kind of like, nah. Kind of like, I don't know about him. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can go with a female agent as long as she's, like, having her whole life fall apart, you know?
If she's
in intense transformation herself.
Her husband's cheating on her or something like that. Or, you know,
right.
You know,
if
you've got one like that, then
you.
Sign up for her. But otherwise, because you want somebody who's got a little bit more of aggression in terms of booking it, selling it.
Okay. That's
so, but that's, normally you do well with the women better, you know. But this is not there's something about the energy of this book that's a little more masculine.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
In writing, what television stations were you writing for or working with?
I worked with C-SPAN and then just like television shows that were for cable, like HGTV type things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live outside DC, so there's a lot of small.
Again, small see if you can. Have you done? I mean, it looks like there's such contradictions in your chart around travel. Up in you've got Cancer up in the house of career, which says stay home, but you have this loaded lineup in Sagittarius, which is the world citizen, in the house of the home. So it's more like you travel from the home, or you want to travel to a home rather than feel comfortable on the road. But there's something about the role of global citizen, and you know, I'd like you to work with the people who are visiting from other cultures. I'd also like, you know, if you're dealing with radio or television, that it's either travel programs or, cooks that travel or international houses, if you're working for HGTV, you know, how to really play that part of it, because I think you have a special skill with it.
Okay, great.
Very cool.
Okay.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you all so much. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome. Mark, you got anything to add?
No, I think that covers it pretty well.
Okay, cool.
I think you know what to do. and whatnot.
Yeah, I hope. It's just waiting it out, I think, and just working quietly.
Yeah. Kind of an
great.
Evolutionary
you.
Journey, you know.
Yay.
Some of them are easier than others. This one is really, you know, and maybe it's just, you know, giving you all the time to get the work, you know, you've got the time and space to get the book done. So you're sitting looking at it and going, I'd really rather have another job, you know, so I can do,
yeah.
And they're like, no, we want you doing the book. We want you doing the book.
Well, I think a lot, I know that I had plenty of time to do this and I didn't. So I think that's part of it, that
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like you need to get it done, so you're just going to have to stay home, kind of, and, you know, and clip coupons, and that all you get is an apple today, you know, that type of thing, which is fine.
Right.
But I think the strangest thing is, like, I'm not out of my mind, which is my usual,
excellent.
Like, oh, my, you know, I'm going to jump off the balcony. It's like,
mm-hmm.
no, it'll, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You know,
I'll work out.
Through it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I think that's all part of whatever the big transition was, too, that it was
right.
like, see, you weren't killed.
Beautiful.
You didn't die. You're still
yeah,
here.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so, but some of the other stuff is gone, so that's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks
when
so
that,
much,
that
you
stuff
guys.
All leaves, it also frees up space for new things to come in. So maybe some of that stuff needed to go for the new thing to come in, too.
Well,
it, you know,
feels
I'm,
like,
huh?
It feels like that it is a big. I just, have you ever read that Melody Beattie thing about how you have to stand waiting with your hands open, like, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just have to wait kind
right.
of thing? That's, you know, and it's
mm-hmm.
that's really hard, you know, to not kind of impose what you want on it. And I feel like that's sort of what this is about.
Right, right. Yeah, because yeah. it's an unformed waiting.
Yeah.
And it's also, the one I like is the, oh, the places you go, and it's the, oh, you're in the waiting room now where you have to wait.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're not going to be here forever, but you're going to be here for a little while because we're not quite ready for you yet in the next chapter. And I think once Pluto goes direct on the 11th and once the Saturn-Uranus opposition happens on the 15th, you'll find
mm-hmm.
that stuff opens up a bit more. So, and if not, call us back and we'll offer more suggestions. That, you know.
Well, one of the things you guys were saying earlier that mm-hmm. I almost didn't call because I was like, oh, they just said it, was the whole idea of kind of austerity, of getting used to the
mm-hmm.
what you can do without, and not in a negative way, you know, not in a sense
mm-hmm.
of lack, but just
mm-hmm.
did you really need all that before, you know, that type of thing. And it's making me work harder on the writing to get it over with. So I mean, it's all kinds of
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I've chalked it all up to that.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes
good
sense. That makes a lot of sense. Cool.
Well, thanks a lot.
You are so welcome, and take care.
Sure.
You
bye
too. Take care, you all. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
You
okay
too.
All right, I think, and if anybody else wants to call us, 347-215-8881. So do we have anything else we want to say? We've got 20 minutes left. We have no callers on the line.
Let's take a look. We were talking a little bit about sunspots, and you were mentioning that you're going to be talking more about this tomorrow at East West Books. And we were talking about that this is one of the unusual pieces of this time of history, is that the sun, which should normally be coming more active in the solar cycle, has gotten quiet for an unusual length of time. Normally the sun gets very active for a period of about 5 years, peaks, and then gets quieter for a while, and then gets it to a solar minimum, and gets and builds up again. And this is normally roughly around 11-year cycle. And when the sun is getting more and more active, the sun grows, and politics get more and more riled up, people get more and more excited, change gets easier to instigate for good or ill, revolutions begin to pick up, people are looking, searching for new answers. They take an answer around the time of the solar maximum, and then it gets quieter and quieter and harder to instigate change. The last time the sun peaked was quite a while ago. It was when Bush first came into office.
Wow.
And it was a low peak. It wasn't very exciting, but it was the conservative revolution of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when was one of the main reasons I didn't think anybody else was going to get elected besides him when he came up for re-election, because the sun was getting quieter and quieter, and it's very hard to make a major political shift. You know, you can continue a change in progress, but it's hard to switch gears or change tracks in the middle of those aspects. And the sun was getting quieter and quieter, and it was supposed to start activating last year and really be picking up this year and be peaking around 2011-2012, just as a series of other aspects peaks. Now, it may be good because we're heading into, you know, between 2011-2012, some very intense astrological big picture aspects that talk about a lot of change in a short period of time. As Uranus changes sign, you know, Saturn changes, a whole series of them change sign all at once, and they aspect each other in cardinal signs. But the sun, instead of getting active, stayed quieter than it has been seen in well over 50 years. Now, it's the one thing that we can't predict as an astrologer. And
what the sunspot cycles are going to be, right?
What the sunspot. We can say what it's going to, but right now the sun is absolutely blank. Not one sunspot on there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about the key sunspots, peaks in history were the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the mid-60s, the times when, it was a great surge of investigation. So this very quiet sunspot, part of what I see. There was a couple of solar flares right around the election and right around the inauguration, and then it got quiet. Again, we see that when the new administration came in, they came in on the beginning of the resurgence of energy, but then the sun got quiet again, and it's been hard to manifest the change that they were talking about during the election. You know, the promise of it, the momentum just didn't, the wind isn't in the sails the way we'd hoped it would be. Hopefully that will begin to pick up, but it hasn't yet. So we'll see how long this lasts. Yeah, I think there was a very long period of time when there was a solar minimum during the Baroque period, and it's when about 30 years when the sun was very, very quiet, and it ended during the French Revolution with a huge one. So that when the sun gets very quiet, it's often a very culturally rich time. It's just hard to get the political differences picking up.
Or to get things but solved.
One thing,
so that wouldn't then bode well for healthcare then, right?
Right. That's what we're saying.
For it to have a major change, it would have to have a good couple solar flares to kind of kick it.
It sure would be helpful. Or if it is, it has to. If it happens now, it's not because the wind is in its sails. It's brick by brick it has to change.
Right.
But what we are seeing is a huge, an unusually large, the Perseid meteor showers coming through.
Yes, they've been huge. And this next week. This next week,
mm-hmm.
the 11th and 12th, they're enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lots of them.
And, you know, right. And I've seen a couple of real beauties, too. The process, to me, that the symbol of that is that we have information coming to Earth. We have particles coming to Earth from out of the solar system. We have, it always seems that when there's meteor shower coming through, we have new ideas coming and new information, and it starts to, you know, bring in some cosmic energy, quite literally cosmic matter on Earth. But the symbolism to me is that we're being spoken to by the cosmos. We're being affected by it. We have new information. It seems to throw some wild cards, often for the better, in our lives. So even if there's no sunspot, we do have meteor showers.
Hmm. I forgot all about the meteor showers. Yeah, I like them. They're one of my favorite, because this is a big set,
mm-hmm.
too. You really can see these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. Yeah, I had been looking at them, and I thought, oh, yeah, I completely forgot about them last week. I mean, whatever. But they're at their peak the next couple of days, the 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Right.
So very
mm-hmm.
cool
mm-hmm.
for this year. So, yeah.
And if anybody wants to know what the space weather, what is happening, you can go to spaceweather.com, and you will find out what's happening with the solar flares, with the meteor shower. You can also go back and look up to see what the sun was doing when you were born, which is a very helpful, it's an interesting research we're going on about what it means to be born at a solar minimum and what it means to be born on a solar maximum, anywhere in between.
And it tells you on any given day what it was doing?
I believe it used to anyway. I haven't been back to check on that recently, but we can find it for you if not.
Yeah, very cool.
To look at some of the political stuff, I'd go to carolmoore.net,
mm-hmm.
and she has some amazing pieces of history around the solar flares.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about them. That's on my list of things to study is astrometeorology. I mean, I've done smidges
mm-hmm.
with it, but, you know, the whole impact on the growing season and the, you know, and the rain
mm-hmm.
seasons and the and everything. And solar flares
mm-hmm.
as a, you know, and people go, do you really think astrology works? And you're like, well, yeah, solar flares do. Even NASA says solar flares work. They pay attention
mm-hmm.
to them. You know, so the astronomers
mm-hmm.
actually agree with solar flares. So I kind of think of that as they really do believe
mm-hmm.
in astrology, even if they don't
mm-hmm.
say they do. So, but yeah.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of cool. All right, cool. Sounds very cool. We've got 14 minutes left. Anything else exciting to add or... Do we want to roll along? No one's called, so unless you've got a caller out there that's listening to the show that wants to call, 347-215.
Can you give the number one more time?
Yep, 347-215-8881. And feel free to call, and we'll answer your questions. The eclipses are over. Everybody's gone home and gone to sleep. That's the thing. They're
mm-hmm.
like, thank heavens I can sleep again. So it's like, thank you. The eclipses
mm-hmm.
are done. The eclipses are done. So I know in my house they were pretty volatile. So, you know, I was ready
mm-hmm.
for them to be over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a forward motion.
Most people I know were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was really not a pleasant time. But on the other side of them, we are. And so now forward and we go. And our new lives reshape.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and I think it also is just really being aware of the fact that this is, you know, we do live in interesting times. There are a lot of, you know, one of the things somebody said to me, when's it going to get better and not be so intense? And I think we're entering
mm-hmm.
this period of really major transformation on Earth. So we have to kind of learn how to
mm-hmm.
work with this energy
mm-hmm.
in a different level, you know, so it affects us, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't take us over. Because certainly we're as we head towards the galactic, 2012, when we line up with the galactic center and whatever else is going on with all those, you know, there are a large number of really stressful aspects
mm-hmm.
coming in the years ahead with the Cardinal Cross and stuff like that. You know, figuring out where we're going, you know, is part of the half the journey. So, and finding nice people to accompany us on the road. So. Anybody have anything else to add?
No.
Nope. Eat well on.
Eat
enjoy
well on
your need for spontaneity the next 2 days. Eat well on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy and increase communications over the weekend. You know, people's minds are going to be all over the place. And you deal with the competitive energy that happens towards the end of the week, but see if you can make it towards your personal best rather than an argument with anybody else.
Yeah.
Could be quite lovely.
And with the Taurus moon, that always is a great moon for good food. And I think this weekend actually
mm-hmm.
looks kind of interesting because of the full moon in Gemini, or the moon in Gemini,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a nice sextile to the moon and a nice, you know, Mars is on the moon, so it's kind of a nice party moon,
mm-hmm.
or I'll be out moon.
Mm-hmm, it is.
So that's kind of a
mm-hmm.
good date night. If you got to have a first date with somebody, you'll not run out of things to talk about. So it'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be good. And forward into the week. All right. Any last callers? No callers. 11 minutes remaining. Let's sign off and go to bed.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, folks, so we'll talk to you next week. Tell your friends about us. Call in, you know. Otherwise, we have to hang up and go to bed early, you know, or go party. I don't know. Heather, you going to go party out there in the Turtle Mountains? Heather?
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to actually stay here at the moment and be quiet. I'm writing tonight because I have to go back to this workshop.
Oh, okay.
And then we're – so I won't stay up too late to party.
Oh, okay.
But – and we'll be doing my best to do that the rest of this week because it's wonderful to have actually people to talk to here in the Twelve Mountains where it can get kind of quiet.
Yeah. Mark and I live in New York where there's always too many people. Okay.
Yeah.
And join Mark
right.
and I tomorrow if you want at East West Books. We speak there every Tuesday from 6:30 to 7:30. in the cafe. So feel free to stop up and tell your friends about us and call next week. People, we need you to talk to us. We run out of things to say, especially because the eclipses are over. And thanks, Heather, for that tune-up on the solar flares. So we want to look at spaceweather.com and carolmoore.net for more information on those. Yeah. And I think I'm going to go look before I go to bed about where my solar flares were when I was born and see if I'm a mystic or a, what was the other one, a politician.
The politicians.
The politicians, yeah. I'm voting for I'm voting for the politician one. I get too bent out of shape about politics, but who knows? Maybe I'm a mystic and I don't know it. All right, gang. So,
a bit of both.
Yeah. So
you
Mark,
take care.
Yep, okay. So Mark, do you want to take us home?
Yep, Access Astrology. And you can look us up on our website, astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. And this is Mark Wolf signing off from the west side of Manhattan.
And Ann Ortley signing off from the east side of Manhattan. And my bright red desk and my cats didn't fight, which is very exciting.
And Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the Turtle Mountains of North Dakota.
Where she's
going
to go. Right.
Okay.
Good night, folks. Bye.
Bye. Take care.